Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, hold on there, Biz Markie. Let me clear my throat. I got to get my official news anchor out here. Well, John Jackson, we still haven't come up with a senior fellow title or a deputy bureau chief of whatever bureau, but we're still working on the title thing. But either way, we're glad you're still showing up for work here every Tuesday.
Okay, senior, we'll forego the senior fellow, and we're going to go with old school dude.
Old school dude. Yeah, old school. He's from the old school because he's an old fool who's so cool.
Old school dude. I'll take that.
Does your daughter think you're cool, though? She probably still doesn't think you're cool, huh?
It's weird because
you're cool, you're not doing your job as a dad because you have to embarrass your kids.
Well, she thinks I'm cool until, just never ever do this with your teenage kids. Never ever use their lingo. They're using in their time. If you try to ever use it, then they give you this eye roll like, Dad, stop.
What was the lingo you tried to use? Now I got to find out.
Oh, I hit her with that the other day. She was talking about some boy that was flirting with her, and I said, you know, he's trying to riz you. You heard that?
Riz. Does that mean like charisma?
Charisma.
Okay, yeah.
And she just rolled her eyes. You know how girls roll their eyes, right? Dad.
Oh, man. I forget what lingo I was joking around with trying to use, and I got the same eye roll from mine. Yesterday, we were talking about the AI action figure craze. Everybody's building their own AI action figures on social media. And, Tim in Billings called in, and it was pretty funny. And, you know, he was like, yeah, somebody asked me what my hobbies are. He's like, hobbies? I have kids. I don't have hobbies. I go to their sporting events and their school stuff. That's what I do. I don't get hobbies anymore. And so then I was joking. I was like, yeah, if I were to create my AI action figure with my accessories, it would be me, you know, holding my wife's purse and my daughter's coffee and then getting hit in the face with a volleyball. That's my AI action figure these days, you know.
That is dead over.
No more body armor. No more, you know, M4. No more Glock 19. Nope, it's getting hit in the face with a volleyball while I'm holding the purse and a cup of coffee.
Mine is going to be holding a stopwatch while I pick up dog poop. That's what I'm doing. That's me clocking my daughter while I pick up puppy poop.
Yeah, that's right. Well, speaking of John, I had to get our anchor voice in here because, John, we've got exclusive news. You know, later today, Joe Biden is going to be speaking publicly for the first time since he left the White House. And I have gotten exclusive advanced preview of his remarks. And so I can confirm right now that Joe Biden is going to say, fuzzle, wuzzle, bubble, wubble, bubble, bubble, bubble. So there you go. Exclusive preview.
Jill, where, am I still the president?
Oh, man. So there you go. The exclusive preview. Fuzzle, wuzzle, bubble, wubble, bubble.
What is he going to talk about?
Apparently he's going to claim that because Donald Trump is taking away Social Security numbers from illegal aliens, that somehow he's attacking Social Security. That's apparently
We're throwing Grandma off the cliff again? Is that what we're doing?
Grandpa's going to do it. That would be the slowest walk off the cliff ever. I mean, you know, if you're going to do it, would you just make it quick instead? Here's Joe. What? Where are we going?
Joe with his back brace on.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. Marilyn Man. We're going to talk about the Marilyn Man next.
It's April 15th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National High Five Day, created in 2002 and celebrates slapping hands of another person above their heads. It dates back to 1977 when it was first used during a basketball game. In 2013, three people are killed, hundreds injured in the Boston Marathon bombing. Two homemade pressure cooker bombs detonated seconds apart near the finish line. In 1947, Jackie Robinson breaks the color barrier, becoming the first African-American player in Major League Baseball. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. The sport had been segregated for more than 50 years. And on the 50th anniversary of his first game, Major League Baseball retires his number 42 in 1997. And born on this day, in 1452, Leonardo da Vinci. His artwork includes the Mona Lisa and the Last Supper. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Put your phone on D&D, the music, do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please don't always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, the music, do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please don't always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, Maryland, man. Hey, Maryland, man. Man, so many of these legacy media outlets keep referring to this guy as a Maryland man. I think we even called this out a week ago, John, and they're still doing it. It reminds me. There was a Gallatin, a guy who was arrested in Gallatin Gateway, an illegal alien. And in the official press release from the Biden-appointed U.S. Attorney's Office, they called him a Gallatin Gateway man. Like, no, he's not from Gallatin Gateway. He's an illegal alien. Otherwise, if it was just a Gallatin Gateway man who had some guns, well, Lottie freaking da. He has the Second Amendment, so there'd be no need for a press release. Oh, but he's not a Gallatin Gateway man, so that's why you arrested him on gun charges.
I was telling you at the break, Stephen Miller did a master class yesterday. He came out on the, you know, in front of the White House there on the lawn and had the entire press corps there and took them to school for 10 minutes. And he not only laid it out a piece at a time who this guy is, he is an El Salvadoran citizen, a gangbanger, an MS-13 member with a deportation order. What do you think? If we brought him back here, we would lop him in irons and send him right back there, you people. And then he starts asking them questions because you know how the press wants to argue? Well, they want to argue right until you ask them a question. Do you know the difference between this and that? Cricket. Oh, none of you, you've been writing about it all weekend, and none of y'all thought to just get up on Google and look at this, did you? Cricket.
I loved the visit by El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele in the White House, and you got, you know, President Bukele sitting next to President Trump, and they're taking questions, and they're talking with all the cameras in the room. And then you've got Kristi Noem back there. You've got Secretary of State Marco Rubio right here. Stephen Miller's in the back of the room. And even President Trump's like, hey, Stephen, you want to take this one? Boom. He jumps in. I mean, this is the most transparent administration in American history. And the media should be heaping praise upon the Trump administration for all of the access that they allow.
I've watched Stephen Miller enough, and he will do this thing. You can tell, you know, when he's on the scrap, he does this. He'll do this thing with his shoulder, where he'll tip his shoulder back, and he'll kind of do his neck, kind of like that, twist it to the side. That means he's getting ready to stomp you. And that means you're also pissing him off when he does that. But you and I were talking at the break, too, this tweet from Peachy Keenan, where she says, the Democrats' top four heroes in America are now a murderer named Luigi, a murderer named Carmelo with a butcher knife, an MS-13 illegal gang member, and a Palestinian Hamas supporter.
Yeah, they just can't pull themselves back from the crazy right now. And the crazy is going to be on full display tomorrow at the Adams Center in Missoula, where Bernie Sanders and AOC are going to be rallying then. Speaking of Stephen Miller, I shared this full clip on X. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. This came from the Trump War Room, but Stephen Miller was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer. And, you know, even Fox, every now and then, it's like, what are you guys doing? Stop using the boilerplate headline language that the fake news media uses. He's not a Maryland man.
So I want to correct, I hate to do it, Bill, but I got to correct you on every single thing that you said, because it was all wrong. First, we won the Supreme Court case, clearly, 9-0. A district court judge said, unconscionably, that the president and his administration have to go into El Salvador and extradite one of their citizens, an El Salvadorian citizen, so that would be kidnapping, that we have to kidnap an El Salvadorian citizen against the will of his government and fly him back to America, which would be an unimaginable act and an invasion of El Salvador's sovereignty. So we appealed to the Supreme Court, and it said clearly, no district court can compel the president to exercise his Article II foreign powers in any way whatsoever. DOJ called me after that Supreme Court ruling, and they said, this is amazing. We won this case 9-0. We are in excellent standing here. So this has been portrayed wrong for 72 hours in the media.
All right. And then, of course, he goes on for at least another 2 minutes. And, yeah, it was fascinating to hear him break this down, because the Supreme Court said, well, they should facilitate a return. That was an interesting word choice by the Supreme Court, wasn't it, John?
And that was just the most horrible coverage of a Supreme Court decision you have ever seen. If you just read headlines, I mean, and across all the media reporting it, that's what they said, is that Supreme Court votes that Trump administration must facilitate return of Maryland man, right? When that's not what they said at all. The whole thrust of the ruling was siding with the government, saying this lower court judge had no jurisdiction to tell the government to go get somebody, to order them to do it. And like, you see these idiot, the people in congressmen, Democrat congressmen out there saying, just get the U.S. Marshals and send them down there and get the guy. You know what, bud? Give that a try.
Yeah.
I really want you to give that a try.
And why aren't all of the headlines about Victor Martinez Hernandez, all those headlines should read, Maryland man, hey Maryland man. So in under an hour, a Maryland jury found illegal immigrant Victor Martinez Hernandez, an El Salvadoran national, guilty of all charges in the 2023 murder of Rachel Morin. That's a, you know, a guy in Maryland who murdered this innocent woman who was out for a walk. Another illegal alien from El Salvador, or in the words of the fake news media, Maryland man. But you notice they're not trying to use that terminology with this guy, are they?
Everybody needs to understand one thing. Modern day Democrats are ruthless communists that have inflicted all of this on you. They don't care how many of you get murdered and robbed and raped behind this, as long as they have consistent and new voters.
All right. Gretchen Whitmer, I got to get John Jackson's take on the governor of Michigan. Was that a trapper keeper she put in front of her face to hide her face in the Oval Office? Anyway.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last 3 or 4 decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management, and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism. Foreign tourists spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Another western state makes it a little bit tougher to get the firearm of your choice. Colorado's governor puts another purchase obstacle for those wanting to buy semi-automatic rifles. Such rifles remain the most popular rifle in the U.S. The new law signed by Governor Jared Polis would require anyone wanting to buy a semi-automatic rifle in Colorado to pass a firearm safety course once every 5 years. A certificate of some sort would be needed to be presented when purchasing the firearm, and anything dated more than 5 years ago won't be considered valid. Yes, it can be renewed, but renewals need to involve the local sheriff's office. The permit could cost someone at least $300. Opponents of the law argue that keeping track of who passes a safety course for the sole purpose of purchasing a specific type of firearm amounts to a registry. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I know John Jackson's seen this. By the way, John Jackson, he's a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 100,000 followers on X and, of course, lives right here in Montana. Always fun to have him on the show every Tuesday. Sometimes more often, too, which is always fun. He'll fill in on the show from time to time. But, yeah, joins us every Tuesday for the most unwoke hour of the week. Although, you're able to do 2 hours today, right? Okay, good. He's sticking around till 10 o'clock. John, did you see? So I was joking about Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, right? So she shows up at the Oval Office, and it looks like she has a trapper keeper in front of her face. She's, like, trying to hide her face, and then eventually she has to, like do the baby steps into the Oval Office, baby steps away from the cameras. I mean, it was like that Bill Murray movie, you know, with the baby steps that were going on here. But the Babylon Bee had a great headline. Gretchen Whitmer sneaks into White House again. And it's a photo of a woman in a full burqa. Got the full burqa on next to Donald Trump.
Well, here is a woman who, as you know, was the most tyrannical COVID lockdown governor in the country, bar none. Just an absolute dictator, wicked witch. But when walking into the White House in front of Donald Trump, a man she professes to despise, she is just like she walked into the principal's office. I mean, she's in there like, oh, am I going to get a spanking? Am I going to get detention? What's going to happen here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full. And then when they try to take her picture, then she puts up that trapper keeper in front of her face.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Michigan, that's where the mighty Human Z is calling in from. And he, along with John Jackson here, they have a podcast on Rumble. Z, what's going on? You got your trapper keeper?
And I'll tell you what, you know, those folders were so big. But her face, now her face is so big. I thought she made those folders look like Post-it notes. I mean, it's just a problem. But here's, I'll tell you what. She inspired John and I. We have an album that's come out. It's just released. You can download it from Amazon. And it is inspired by Gretchen Whitmer. The first song is, "You Can't Hide Your Lying Eyes." There you go. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. The mighty Human Z. Good to hear from you. Do you know who Harlan Williams is, John? If you saw his face, you would totally recognize him. He's been in, like, Adam Sandler movies a bunch. But anyway, he was on the Gutfeld show last night. Yeah, I don't have the video in front of me, but I got the audio. But he was on the Gutfeld show last night, and they were talking about, you know, Gretchen Whitmer in her big blue coat that she showed up at the White House with.
Well, first of all, I don't think the real crime here is that she's hiding behind, cards like she's coaching on the NFL sideline. Yeah. I think the real crime here is that she went to the Oval Office dressed as Captain Crunch. It's like, where's Waldo in an Olive Garden pantsuit over here?
You got to understand, though, she was going to wear a blue dress, but they told her not in the White
House. Shots fired.
Ouch.
That was Johnny Joey Jones, the great Marine Corps wounded warrior veteran who was on Gutfeld's program last night as well. Yeah, showed up dressed like Captain Crunch. Caden, do you know what Captain Crunch is? Did they have Captain Crunch when he was a kid? It might have been. Do they still have Captain Crunch?
I think they do, but it's not on commercials.
It's not
anymore.
Big like it was back in the 80s and 90s, maybe. Yeah, yep.
You were talking about Bill Maher this morning.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher was getting into a little of that, and they got into that on the Gutfeld show last night. And they come around to Tyrus, and they ask him about it, and Tyrus just blew it. I mean, Tyrus just blew it up. He's like, oh, hell no. Hell no. This guy, Bill Maher, has dogged Republicans and conservatives for 30 years and has dogged Trump for 8-9 years now and gets to walk into the Oval Office one time, meet the president, and come out and say, he was nice that night. No, dude, no. Get back on your side of the line, pal, you know?
Yeah, I saw the Federalist.com. Let me pull it up here. Let's see. Great headline. I didn't get a chance to read the full story on it yet, but the headline really says it all. Bill Maher, who, by the way, he's a radical leftist, has a show on HBO. Now, the thing about Bill Maher is at least he has been standing up to the woke mob. At least he has been standing up against men and women's sports. But seriously, that shouldn't even be a thing. That shouldn't even be a debate. But that shows you just how radical left the Montana Democrat Party is when they embrace that stuff. And even a Hollywood liberal like Bill Maher is saying, whoa, this is crazy. But thefederalist.com, this is the headline. Bill Maher should not be applauded for taking 10 years to realize that Trump isn't, quote, literally Hitler, right?
And he's of that age where he saw, you know, he remembers going back into Clinton and even Jimmy Carter. He remembers what Democrats are, and he remembers how Democrats get elected. And that's why he, along with some of these other people, although they still hate Trump, they're going crazy today because they see how their entire party is taken over. You know, the lunatics are running the asylum, and he's that's why he wants Democrats to win. That's why he's always lecturing them.
Caden got back to me. He says a Captain Crunch cereal is still around, but his mom didn't let them have the fun cereals, though. So he didn't get the fun cereals. So that's good on her there. Good on her there for that one. And by the way, speaking of trapper keepers, our friend Jake in Billings, he says he didn't have a trapper keeper when he was a kid. His mom swiped a three-ring binder from work and tried to tell me it was the same thing as a trapper keeper. So good on her as well.
I thought Jake was going to give us the old, you know, I walked up a hill both ways to get to school when I was a kid. You know, back in my day, you had to fight a grizzly bear off with my loose leaf notebook.
And, wearing his pink shirt, of course, at the same time.
These kids today, they don't know.
This was Bill Maher, though. Fox and Friends Weekend played some highlights from his program over the weekend where he talked about meeting with President Trump, and I got a kick out of this one.
First good sign, before I left for the Capitol, I had my staff collect and print out this list of almost 60 different insulting epithets that the president had said about me. Things like stupid, dummy, lowlife dummy, sleazebag, sick, sad, stone cold crazy, really a dumb guy, fired like a dog, his show is dead. There's 60. I brought this to the White House because I wanted him to sign it. Which he did.
I think there's one more part. Okay, I'll play the rest of it.
With good humor, and I know as I say that, millions of liberal sphincters just tightened.
All right, so I do appreciate the fact that he's willing to call out, the wackos on his side who, you know, get all uptight about everything, right? So, that was pretty funny. But you also got to wonder, you know, how many people has Bill Maher criticized during his entire career, his entire tenure, right? So it's like you can't really clutch your pearls over somebody else offending you, right?
And that's what everybody needs to remember. Donald Trump has always been a counterpuncher. You will never see Donald Trump go on the offense against somebody, him be the guy to throw the first punch, the first insult. But he also will not suffer fools. If you insult him or offend him, he will hit back.
Yeah. I appreciate that Trump's bringing somebody like Bill Maher into the White House because I think Trump is trying to change the direction, the trajectory of this nation. He's trying to get, and like, look, I know there's a lot of people out there like, oh, how come Donald Trump doesn't have me at the White House? Like, okay, if you're concerned about you and you just want to get your photo with Donald Trump or whatever, like, if you care about the future of this country, you should say, you know what? Donald Trump doesn't need to spend time with me. As much as I would love that, or as much as we would love that, Donald Trump needs to go get this country back in the right direction and change the trajectory of this country. But there's some people who still want it to be all about them. And, oh, how come I don't get to go meet with Trump at the White House? You know what? You should be taking the fight to get this country back instead of worrying about who you're getting your freaking photo with so you can go share it on Facebook and tell everybody about how important you are. Rant over.
Well, if you want to watch, you're wearing your UFC shirt here this morning, Aaron. If you want to watch who Donald Trump is, watch him at every one of these UFCs he goes to. Not only does the entire crowd go crazy for this guy, But then all of the fighters, these are the toughest men in the world, right? All the fighters love the guy. They're coming over there. They want to give him the trophies, his, you know, their belts. They want to say hello to him, shake his hand. That's all you have to know about who the man is.
Did you see a big Shaquille O'Neal going over and shaking President Trump's hand? That was pretty cool. Trump gave him the little fist wave, you know. And yeah, that was cool to see.
Joe Rogan, who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu himself, he said before he has to watch himself in an embrace with Trump because Trump is a big guy, right? And Trump will reach in with that big paw of his and yank you off your base, like pull you off balance. Joe says, man, I got to steel myself. I got to be ready because I know he's going to do it.
He's trying to catch you off guard and test you, yeah. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork on the phone lines. Francis, great to hear from you.
Thank you. My opinion was that we should send Trump to Helena, and maybe we could straighten some of our rhinos and our Democrats out.
Yeah, yeah, it's not looking good in the legislature, is it?
No, I've been watching some of the bills go through. You can only stand to watch it so long because it gets so bad. I mean, they vote down such good bills, and it's just sickening. And I would like to also, I think if women should get together with some kind of petition against this Judge Mallory, is that his name, that wants to put men in women's bathrooms.
Oh, that's the gay judge in Missoula, Shane Vanetta, I think is his name. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't want to be known as the gay judge, but here he is pushing the LGBTQ agenda. He says that men's right to privacy outweighs your right to privacy, Francis, that the men have a right to privacy.
I know.
And you don't.
Well, I'll be out with him something if I see him. But I would like to get a petition up somehow and have all, I already got women that are ready to sign, and can we do anything about
That's a great idea. You bring that petition to the Flathead County Lincoln Reagan dinner, and I'll bet you can get a lot of signups starting right there. And then somebody drive Francis down to Missoula to say a thing or two to that judge.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Put that out over the air. John, you and I were just talking. You said, how about what? What story?
Yeah, a huge, huge story yesterday. And as you know, Donald Trump and his administration have been out there trying to stop all this domestic terrorism on college campuses, and they're particularly targeting the people on these campuses that are foreign citizens here on student visas, you know, say they've got green cards or whatever it is. They're targeting these people saying, look, you're not going to do this on our soil if you're here as a guest. And also these universities, you're not going to get federal funding if you continue to do this. Well, some of the universities are, you know, trying to help. Some of them have already been hit with, you know, reductions in their federal funds. Well, yesterday, Harvard, because he tried to tell Harvard to stop this nonsense, to stop their DEI admissions policies, and also to stop enabling the domestic terror on campus. And they told him no. So yesterday he announced a cut of $2.2 billion to that university, and I think that might get their attention.
Just might. We will see. There was another, since we're doing kind of some random national news headlines, there was another national headline that I wanted to share here. Where was it here? Anyway, there was an actual headline in one of the legacy media outlets. I don't know if you heard about this, John, but they found this ancient sacrificial site where all these, you know, human sacrifice took place, right? All these people were slaughtered in this, you know, ancient ritual. And some mainstream media outfit tried to say that it was nonviolent. Well, but they didn't die violent deaths. Are you kidding me?
That was in Guatemala, right? So it's one of the big towers down there.
Yeah, I can't remember. That's why I thought I printed up the headline. But as you can tell, I always have way too much stuff in front of me here. But the reason why that headline caught my eye is because the Babylon Bee had shared an older headline from their satirical website from a few years ago. Archaeologists, pre-Inca child sacrifice site was actually a Planned Parenthood.
Did you see the Mel Gibson movie Apocalypto?
I don't think I did see that one.
That's what the entire movie is about those civilizations, and they're just massacring of their own people and other tribes, you know, to the gods and all this stuff. And, you know, it challenges the whole narrative that you got told your whole life, that indigenous peoples of the Americas were just warm little fuzzies, you know, until the murdering, conquering white man showed up. Yeah, no, not so much.
Now you're going to get David Noble to call in talking about Columbus Day. And so, yeah, because the Montana legislature, now they're getting some good things across the finish line. I don't want to, you know, discount the good stuff. You know, at least they have united on some things, like the legislature united to protect women's privacy, to protect women's sports, to protect girls' locker rooms and things like that. And there's some other things that they've done. But when it comes to the big stuff, property tax relief, income tax relief, judicial reform, everybody back here across the state is saying, what in the heck are these guys doing? And so that's a big question. Man, and I had one other point that I thought I was going to make, but I lost that train of thought, but that's all right, because we're going to call her on the phone lines here. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go to Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, guys, and good morning, Montana. Hey, shout out to Caden. He did really great this morning. And Francis, I'm on that radical judge issue. So I just want to thank our veterans and say, man, oh, man, Aaron, you talked about a lot of very important topics yesterday. But my favorite was when the Gianforte camp emailed you back and called us conspiracy theorists because all of the Republican lawmakers, Greg and Doris, have failed the party and the people's loyalty test. So, yes, huge conspiracy, right? Wrong. In fact, property taxes, giving illegal aliens driving permits, and allowing chemtrails to clog up our beautiful Montana skies were advanced by his endorsements. But sure, call we the people names, because you know that will score you credibility points. But votes don't lie, Aaron and John, and upon my analytics, Greg's childish responses, I seem to be right over the target. So have a wonderful day, and God bless.
All right, Kat, good to hear from you. So, John, the backstory is yesterday I shared on the show here, the Montana Freedom Caucus, which is, you know, in the Montana legislature, kind of like the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House. Montana created their own Montana Freedom Caucus as well. So the Montana Freedom Caucus over the weekend shared a post on X by Republican State Senator Jeremy Treves out of Great Falls. And he said this. He said, the governor's budget director has made deals to make sure all partisan judge bills get voted down. Is this on the governor's authority, or is he acting in concert with Representative Lou Jones to make other deals? And what the Freedom Caucus note included, they said, it is common knowledge in the Capitol that the governor is pulling the strings on the Nasty Nine and the House Rhinos. Now, I would make one point. Did the governor endorse some moderate candidates in the primary last year? Yes, but he also endorsed some more conservative members as well. So did he endorse some more moderate members? Yes, but he also endorsed some more conservative members. I've said from the start, I don't know why you would get involved in the primaries anyway. I think all these people that caused all these fights in the primaries last spring are the reason why we're having a lot of these problems right now. It was divisiveness just for divisiveness' sake. And in the end of the day, you ended up getting more moderate members elected to the legislature. But there's even some conservative members who are voting the wrong way on some of this stuff here. But either way, I sent that Freedom Caucus update to the governor's office. I said, hey, any response? I said this. I said, the Freedom Caucus claims that the governor is blocking judicial reform bills. Any response from the governor's office? And Caitlin Price, the deputy communications director for the governor, said, that is one heck of a conspiracy theory. The governor has been consistently clear, including in his State of the State address, that Montana needs judicial reform. If the governor had the kind of power over the legislature that some conspiracy theorists believe, the legislature would have delivered permanent, meaningful property and income tax cuts by now and avoided adding millions of dollars to the governor's budget. I mean, I've kind of made that point, too. I've been critical of the nine voting with the Democrats, but I've also made the point, look, if all of these people are doing the bidding of the governor, then why aren't they delivering the governor's top priorities? Because even some so-called conservative Republicans are voting against conservative income tax relief bills and pushing a bill that's more of a Democrat tax relief bill, if you ask me.
Well, here's the thing, bottom line on this, Aaron. If you lay down with rhino Democrat dogs, you get up with dysfunction fleas, okay? And that's what's happened here. The governor and other people are conspiring with these dirty nine to get their little pet projects done, and look what it's done. It's blown up the whole thing. They're going to have a terrible session here. And
yeah, but there's other people that are also trying to undermine the Republican governor, who is the head of state for the state of Montana, which is no different than Republicans in Congress trying to undermine Donald Trump, right?
And here's your thing. At the end of the day, who's the head of the party and who is responsible here? You have three people that are responsible for making this work, and you can't blame it on anybody else. It's the governor, it's the president of the Senate, and it's the Speaker of the House. Those three people, if this whole thing fails, this whole session fails, it's on them.
It's on all of them. A pox on all their houses. but no, I think, look, I get how governors, you know, Democrat or Republican, look at the legislature. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you go down and tell the lawmakers, here's what needs to happen, here's what I want to see happen, they get mad. Well, what are you doing telling us what to do, you know? But then if you don't get involved, you get a handful of legislators that'll say, how come we're not getting leadership out of the governor's office? So I understand why maybe even his staff is probably telling him, hey, hang back, you know, don't get down into the weeds, don't get down into the mud. But I think at this point, the time is so short, we've got to get income tax relief. The governor's got the best plan, I fully believe that, but maybe Speaker Lear's got a compromise that can work and tie in with that. We've got to get property tax relief. We've got to get judicial reform. And so maybe now is the time to finally put your foot down and come out and say, all right, guys, enough is enough, and start issuing some veto threats and start, you know, maybe it is time. But again, to you legislators who get mad when somebody does try to get involved, don't get mad if he gets involved then.
What about a light touch? I mean, you want to get you need to get involved as a governor, but you do it with a light touch. And that you have a private meeting with the Speaker and with the head of the Senate saying, here's what I need to get done privately.
As I understand, they've been meeting on at least a weekly basis. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a good question, too, for the President Regeer and for Speaker Lear, which is like, I mean, because some of these votes, it's not even just the nine. You're looking at some of these other guys like, what are you doing? You know, and I get it. There's a lot going on and they're sacrificing. But guys, you're almost to the finish line. Get the job done. Fight to the finish.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
For 50 years, we're a bunch of suckers and we've taken this. And Donald Trump says enough is enough. And says, we want free and fair trade. We'll give you the choice. Or if you choose the path of tariffs, then we're going to tariff you back. It's called reciprocal tariffs. And then if we're giving you money on top of it, then we might keep low tariffs on your country as a means of you helping to pay back American taxpayers that now have $37 trillion in debt. And that means we're robbing from our children and our grandchildren, and we'll be the first generation ever in the history of the country to leave the country worse off than that which we inherited. That can't happen.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Are you taking steps to help protect your money from the potential impact of world war? Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We've seen threats from Iran, and now Syria has been taken over by extremists, putting the entire region at risk. The question is, how much more international conflict can we handle? And what impacts will these conflicts have on the global economy and your retirement savings? Right now, thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to precious metals like gold and silver to help them protect their hard-earned savings. You may not be able to control these global conflicts around the world, but you can control how you diversify your money. And that's where gold and silver could help. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver for qualified accounts, but only while supplies last. So don't wait. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your free copy today and find out if you qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Stevie Nicks is hitting the road, announcing a new solo tour. It begins August 12th in Massachusetts, making stops in Minnesota, Ohio, South Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Oklahoma, and more. Just days before her kickoff performance, Nicks will play MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with Billy Joel. National tour of the Broadway revival of The Who's Tommy has been delayed by a year. The new launch date for the tour is fall 2026. The Who's Tommy features music and lyrics by Pete Townsend of The Who and a book by Townsend and Des McAnuff, with the two updating their original 1993 Broadway staging that played 900 performances. No reason was given for the delay, and casting has not yet been announced. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John is sticking around for the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. One topic we're going to talk about in the 9 o'clock hour, three Montana State University students, foreign students, one from Iran, one from Turkey, got their visas revoked by the federal government, and now the far left-wing ACLU is filing suit. But they didn't name the defendants in the case. That's kind of curious, if you ask me. We'll talk about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we'll take your phone calls. Speaking of phone calls, we got Jason in Bozeman on the phone lines right now. Jason, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, so according to the Supreme Court, it's legal to burn the American flag. And I beg to differ. I want everybody to imagine something. I want you to imagine we as Americans going to Mexico and burning the Mexican flag and waving the American flag and demanding that we stay in Mexico. Now, I don't think that would fly in Mexico. I don't think they would put up with Americans burning the Mexican flag in Mexico. Nor do I think any other country in the world would put up with that. So why are we allowing these people from Venezuela and all these foreign countries come into our colleges and come to our country and burn the American flag? It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's a declaration of war is what it is, against the American people.
Yeah, that's one of the best arguments I've heard from fellow veterans who, you know, support efforts to, you know, to ban flag burning in America. As they argue that this is basically a call to arms against the United States of America. Hey, Jason, thanks for the call. John, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, our freedom of speech is unlike none other in the world, and we must cherish that and hold it dear like no other right you have. And you saw how important this was during the censorship campaign of the U.S. government over social media for the last God knows how many years. You saw how important that was. On the other hand, what needs to happen is law enforcement has to be creative, because guarantee you, Aaron, 9 times out of 10, these a-holes that are out here burning our flag, they are committing other crimes in the process of what they're doing there, and that's how you get them.
Or likewise, if you're not an American citizen, yeah, you don't have a right to be here. You have a privilege to be here. So you want to go do anti-American activities, that's the first sign to our State Department that you do not deserve to be in this country.
Get out.
And you are a potential threat to this country. Oh, I found that story I was searching for. Of course, it was right in front of me. Typical dad move. Hey, where's the ketchup? It's right in front of you.
Well, okay. With this beautiful mind thing you've got going here, this is,
you. By the way, my wife, she's like, you don't hold my purse? Why are you saying that? Okay, it was a backpack. It was a backpack. No, I've carried the purse a time or two. too for her. But anyway, I found that story. CBS, this was from the Daily Caller. An archaeologist quoted in a CBS News report about human sacrifice altars in Guatemala seemingly claimed the sacrificing culture was not violent, adding that they were, quote, connecting with the celestial bodies. Just connecting with the celestial bodies, John. Human sacrifice, connecting with celestial bodies.
Was the high priest, did they call him a Guatemalan man? Did they, was it a mostly peaceful sacrifice?
Mostly peaceful, yeah. Yeah, good night. Yeah, because everything was peaceful until Whitey showed up.
You know? Yeah, sounds like it, right?
Yeah, geez, why do they have books about Indian wars? There were never wars before white dudes showed up. Give me a break. Everybody got along.
Oh, my God.
Everybody got along. Oh.
The tribes here in the United States, in North America, routinely attacked their fellow tribes and massacred them and put the women and children in as slaves.
That's not true, John. John, you have your horses. I have mine. Everybody's got their horses. There was no tribe fighting another tribe.
Not until Whitey came along.
Whitey is the only violence that's ever occurred on the face of the planet.
Yeah, the mean old conquering white man.
Which reminds me of another Babylon Bee headline. Concentration camp prisoners concerned China being bullied by America.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last 3 or 4 decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism. Foreign tourists spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.